Thank you for joining me for another UnleashingFreedom.com podcast. This is Richard Wells. Debt overwhelms our society today, and I'm astounded that the shock factor of trillions and trillions of dollars of debt is wearing off. We've not only shifted from a capital-based economy to a credit-based system, which is more susceptible to manipulation than ever, but we've entered into the dangerous realm of accepting it as normal. Now, debt is not new, and the ability to capitalize business ventures helps economies expand, but perhaps a little perspective can help us see why reining in spending as opposed to legitimate investment is not just a good idea, it's essential to maintaining freedom. And actually, Thanksgiving is a great time to discuss it. Now, I love Thanksgiving for so many reasons. I mean, there's friends, family, football, food, freedom, and so much more. And there's something about the rich heritage of this holiday that causes me to contemplate the hard work, sacrifice, and toil of the American pilgrim ancestors who put everything on the line in a life and death struggle just to enjoy the first Thanksgiving feast, which to them was bounteous, but would pale in comparison to some of the lavish and costly Thanksgiving feasts that will be on display this week. To those pilgrims, the Apostle Paul's injunction that if any would not work, neither should he eat, was not just good advice, it was reality. Today it doesn't matter if we've worked for it or not. We can still have it now thanks to Visa and pay for it later. And though the party now is grand, the consequences of bondage hang over us like the Grim Reaper at Halloween. Today, instead of seeking to satiate physical hunger, easy credit has created an environment where you're encouraged to satisfy every physical appetite by amassing enormous debt. Debts made possible only because of the labors of previous generations, including the pilgrims. And make no mistake, this debt, whether national, state, or household, is threatening to destroy us. Now let us turn our attention to the lesson left to us by those pilgrims who landed in Plymouth in 1620. What many don't realize is that they actually labored under immense debt. But the principle and reason for it was vastly different, for their eye was set on freedom, while today's generation seems bent on using it for ease, convenience, and pure materialism. The pilgrims who first arrived in America were actually known as separatists in England because they felt they must separate from the corruptions of the Church of England. This was dangerous doctrine, and intense persecution ranging from fines, brutality, and imprisonment plagued them. In the face of such intolerance, they fled to Holland, where they had more latitude to worship, but their immigrant status kept them in the lowest forms of employment, which forced them to work long, arduous hours just to subsist. After enduring these conditions of labor bondage for nearly 12 years, this band of believers felt compelled, even called, to sell to the New World in order to have the opportunity to truly live free. To call it a leap of faith is an understatement. The only odds they could point to came from Jamestown, Virginia, a colony which after 12 years had a death rate of over 50%. Still, they pressed on and sought financing for the undertaking. Their original business proposal was rejected, but a bigger speculator, a Mr. Thomas Weston, soon sought them out and a deal was reached. Those who financed the operation expected high rates of return. The pilgrims seeking a place where they could govern themselves, worship freely, and prosper were now entrepreneurs forced to deal with shrewd men. The pilgrims raised some capital as a down payment and bought shares in the plantation. These shares would be redeemable at the end of a 7-year term in which they indentured themselves to the businessmen. If they met the conditions, they would be free from bondage after 7 years, and the land they had planted on would become theirs. Weston took this agreement back to the partners, who accepted it. Two ships were acquired, the Speedwell and the Mayflower, but as they were boarding, Weston attempted to force their hand and double the terms of indenture to pay off more debt they had contracted. This delayed their departure as they refused and sold off certain supplies to pay the debt. This was a mere inconvenience compared to the hardship they would soon endure. For not long after they got underway, the Speedwell was deemed unseaworthy, and they would have to return to port and consolidate all into the Mayflower. Some backed out at this point, but the stalwart pressed on, facing 66 days of rough seas, harsh harassment from the crews, and arriving off course. This latter challenge proved to be a significant part of the American civil government as they decided to plant where they had no charter and therefore drafted the Mayflower Compact as an original constitution that established self-government. But that's a story for another day. By the time a suitable place to establish their colony was located, the weather had turned cold and miserable. Men barely able to hold an axe in such extreme weather were expected to build and establish shelter. Sickness followed, malnutrition set in, and soon the little colony began to perish. By the end of winter, nearly half of them were gone, and only 3 complete families remained. but they still did not complain. Rather, they turned to God in thanksgiving. A God who sent Samoset, Massasoit, and Squanto the Indians to their aid. A God who placed them in a region near perhaps the only tribe that would have befriended them. On vacated land, which was occupied just 5 years earlier by the Patuxet Indians, who all mysteriously perished by a plague. All but Squanto, that is, who had been abducted and taken to England, where he learned English and later returned to find his entire tribe gone. Alone in the world, he decided to dedicate himself to the Pilgrims, who were establishing their community on the land of his childhood. Though these miraculous events gave them a foothold in the New World, they still labored under enormous debt to the adventurers who callously scolded them after this winter of starvation, death, and suffering for their selfish nature and lack of industry. Insulting as this was, they added to their hardship by dropping off 35 non-provisioned pilgrims and then demanded more money. Another winter of suffering followed as a result of this burden, but miraculously not a soul perished. They were now, however, struggling under a mountain of debt. And though religious freedom was theirs, complete freedom was years away. And so they pressed on, working hard, refusing to complain or seek redress in the courts of England. Taking advantage of their situation, the adventurers loaned them money at rates of 30 to 50%. They coerced them into longer terms of indenture. It would take some 25 years to pay 20,000 pounds of money in order to retire an original debt of just 18,000 pounds. Funds for the final payment were raised by William Bradford, who sold his large farm, Standish and Alden, who sold 300 acres apiece, and Winslow and Prince, who sold their homes. This great price bought them their complete freedom by delivering them from bondage of debt. The celebration must have been far greater than that first Thanksgiving nearly 25 years earlier. Now I stand in awe of these faithful, hardworking pilgrims who without complaint became entrepreneurs, who fearlessly challenged the status quo and relentlessly chased their freedom over the course of a lifetime. They endured every type of hardship to establish the foundation of freedom we still rest on today. They took risk, acquired debt, not in the pursuit of pleasure and ease, but with a clear strategy to improve their situation. Today, we can choose again to follow this model, to shun vice, to reward industry, and to invest in ventures which promise freedom, not bondage. America has carelessly strapped herself with debt that our ancestors boldly fought to shed. They proved not just America, but all nations can turn that around. But doing so must start with you and me. So listen carefully to the voices of those early settlers calling from the dust that we become more industrious today. Their voices cry out that we shed the shackles of debt bondage and mental bondage that threatens to send us backwards over the very ground they toiled to claim. There are new horizons to conquer today. The world is in turmoil, just pleading with the optimistic soul to claim their birthright and see the world not as it is, but as it should be. Their voice whispers from the past, "Will you rise above the negativity, the greed and debauchery, the debt and self-centeredness, and claim freedom for you and generations to come?"